at what time of day are you most at risk of feeling overwhelmed, stressed out? For me, it's just before tea. So I'm simultaneously cooking and washing up and cleaning and messaging and laying the table and sorting out a squabble and checking something on my phone and admiring something one of the children showing me and thinking about things on my to-do list and remembering, oh, I haven't sorted that birthday card. And we're on a time deadline because it's football practice at 6. What time is it for you? Really briefly, do you want to just turn to someone near you and share what time of day or in what circumstances are you most likely to feel overwhelmed or stressed out? So just half a minute just to talk to those around you. Perhaps for you, it's midway through the working day when everyone needs you and the messages or requests are coming in faster than you can manage them. Oh, could you just... And it just sends you over the edge. Or perhaps it's when you're on your own and the big problems of life weigh down on your mind and the needs of those around you seem utterly overwhelming and beyond you. The truth of the matter is that there's an awful lot to do. And I'm guessing whatever your life situation, whether single, widowed, married, divorced, whether the children fill the house or not, whether in paid work or not, life can feel utterly overwhelming at times. We've made it through the night of worry. We've got out of bed despite the weariness. But wow, life. Martha could certainly relate. She was up to her eyeballs. There were guests everywhere. There was food to prepare. And would you believe it? Someone is propping up the worktop, explaining a complicated problem, and she just needs to get to the drawer. And, oh, someone else has arrived, and they'll probably need a cup of tea. And would you believe it? Would you believe it? Mary, my darling sister, is just sitting down in the living room. Martha's stress levels were rivaled only by her resentment levels. Let's read the story in Luke chapter 10. It's on your handout if you'd like to follow along. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, "Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me." "Martha, Martha," the Lord answered, "you are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her." "Martha, Martha," Jesus says to her. She's stressed out. She's resentful. She has practically told Jesus off. And yet, "Martha, Martha," put your name there. Sherry, Sherry. We use the New Living Translation at Shepherd Drive, and the translation in the NLT is, "My dear Martha, my dear Martha, you're worried and upset over all these details. There is only one thing worth being concerned about. Mary has discovered it, and it will not be taken away from her." What does God want from me? We so easily fall into the trap of imagining God is just like a boss who's always got one more thing he'd like us to do. And you don't mind just staying on an extra hour, do you? And squeezing every last minute and every last ounce of energy out of us. But do you know what Jesus doesn't say? He doesn't say, "Oh, there you are, Martha. Oh, great. Do you mind just whipping up another dessert? And, oh, I'm sorry, there's a spillage on the carpet." And he doesn't say to Mary, Martha's sister, "Yep, yeah, up you get, lazy thing, back to it." No, you can hear the love and compassion in his voice for both of these sisters, including the frazzled one. "My dear Martha, there is only one thing you truly need." the one thing is himself. I remember years ago, as a teenager, I was helping out on a camp, a summer camp for 8 to 11-year-olds, I think it was. And there was a swimming pool on site, and so we were having a group swim. Now, some of the younger boys decided, well, they just got a bit overexcited. And between them, they thought it would be really fun to duck my head under the water and hold me there. Just for a moment, but I can still, and this was years ago, I can still remember that feeling of panic, of being under the water and not being able to get back. And I was genuinely scared, and I fought to get back to the surface. And then, I'm sorry to say, I shouted at the one boy who didn't immediately swim off. Like, they all just went in different directions, and one boy, and I shouted at him. But when you can't get to air, there is just one thing that matters to you. There is one thing you want, one thing you need, and one thing you cannot live without. Oxygen. Jesus is like oxygen. We can't live without him. Life flows from him. Without him, we are spiritually dead. With him, we know light and life pumping through our veins. Mary's heart, so the sister sitting at Jesus' feet, Mary's heart was full of wonder as she listened to him speak. Her heart was settled as she sat at Jesus' feet, knowing that that was the best place to be. All the struggles and demands of life faded as she spent time with her life-giving Lord. We're not told this in the passage, but I kind of imagine Mary pouring out her worries to Jesus and resting in the peace that he brings. I have imagined myself in Martha's place in the kitchen hundreds of times. But maybe it's worth us imagining ourselves in Mary's place, listening to our Lord, enjoying closeness to him, breathing deep on the oxygen that he brings. Knowing that he's the one who can sort out every problem. He's the one who directs our lives. He's the one who brings restoration and joy. He's the one carrying us. What does God want from me? Another committee, another rota, another shift, another load of washing? He wants my heart. He wants me to sit at his feet, and he wants me to draw life and strength daily from him. The truth of the matter is there is an awful lot to do. The even bigger truth of the matter is that there's only one thing we truly need, and that is Jesus. Just at lunch, we happened to be talking about Chantry Library. A little while ago, I was at Chantry Library over my side of town, and I heard a conversation that has been replayed many times throughout history. "Come on now, we need to go," says the mum. "I don't want to, it's not fair," toddler replies. "Come on, you're just tired." I could hear it coming before it was out of this little boy's mouth. "I'm not tired." "Oh, but you are. Oh, but you are." And aren't we? Aren't we so often tired? I bet Martha was tired that day. I bet she was the sort of person who was still rushing around, trying to get everything done, trying to get that last thing done before getting to bed each night. I bet she struggled to switch off once she switched off the light. If you ever want a really scary read, and I mean really scary, can I recommend Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker? Because the stats for what lack of sleep does to us is frightening, both in the short term and in the long term, on our health, emotions, ability to cope. I mean, put simply, if I just summarise this book, if we don't go to bed, we're going to feel overwhelmed when the pressure is on. But it's all very well knowing the, you know, statistics for increased mortality or, you know, dramatic drop in reaction times when we're driving if we're tired. Scaring ourselves into bed is only going to work for a night or two. We need to look at the deeper things that are going on in our hearts, what we really believe if we're going to change our habits and priorities and become more of a Mary than a Martha. So let's turn back to Philippians 4. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. 6 times in Philippians chapter 4, so just in that one chapter, 6 times Jesus is called Lord. Lord, the one who is in control, the one who understands us best, the one who directs us and guides us, and whose words we should rate more highly than our own to-do lists or agendas. When we're overwhelmed, this is the question to ask ourselves. Who is Lord? Who is Lord? If I think the answer is me, well then I've got to perform and achieve and I've got to get the most out of every day and every hour that I can. I will get that extra thing done before I go to bed. I'll miss sleep and I'll go and I'll go and I'll go. I'll lay awake thinking of all the things that I'm trying to do and sort and control. I'll think, tomorrow I'll go to bed early. Tonight I must just finish this. Who is Lord? If I think the answer is me, I'll not be able to have a day off each week, because if I do, everything will fall apart around me. I'll try and fix everyone's problems and be everything to everyone. Who is Lord? If I think the answer is me, then I've got to hold this church, this family, this workplace, this world together. I will take on too much. I'll try and do too much. I'll say yes to everything. I'll work harder, longer. I'll worry and I'll fret. And quite frankly, I'll crumble. Who is Lord? If I think the answer is me, and I fall into this trap all the time, I'll do more and I'll pray less. Plus, I'll feel resentful to others who don't seem to be doing as much as me. Do you remember, tell my sister to get into the kitchen? Why should Mary be enjoying time with Jesus when there's so much to do? Who is Lord? If I think the answer is me, I'll lack joy. I'll be snappy with those closest to me. I certainly won't be considerate and gentle in all I do, as it tells us in Philippians 4. I'll feel like it's all down to me. An overwhelmed Martha will be my default position. The demands of life are never ending. There will always be more we could do in any area, at home, at work, at church, in our communities, in our wider families. But we're not designed by God to hold the world together. Who is Lord? Jesus is Lord. He'll keep the universe going while I sleep. He'll manage without me if I have a day off. He'll provide when I say no to something. Jesus is Lord. Okay, quick show of hands. Who uses a lid on their saucepan when you're, I don't know, boiling veg or whatever? Who will use a lid? Oh, almost everyone. Wow. Okay. This is quite, I admission now, it's quite a new thing to me to use a lid. But this is what happens, right? Almost inevitably. Peas, hot water, lid on, turn it up. And then I'm laying the table, I'm putting glass away, I'm blah, blah, blah. And I hear that inevitable sound. Peas are ready. The boiling over is inevitable for me, because I'm not keeping an eye on the pan, and it's an electric hob, which doesn't help, but I'm not looking for the signs of the bubble and the steam, and before I know it, clean the hob is on my to-do list as well. I think sometimes we can be like that internally, can't we? The stress building up. But the problem is we're ignoring those little signs, we're ignoring the bubbles and the steam, and before we know it, overwhelmed mess. We absolutely need to step back and look at the big picture. We absolutely do that. We need to be thinking, as we just were, about what we believe and how that affects what we do. But even if we've had a good night's sleep and we had the day off on Sunday and we've spent time at Jesus' feet that morning, even then, sometimes we can start to feel those stress levels rise, can't we? And we need a plan in the moment when we feel our inner Martha rising and threatening to boil over. Perhaps for you, it's when you've got a deadline plus you're short-staffed or, whatever. What then when you feel those bubbles rising, when that steam, and how do we avoid the... Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Now, we absolutely should be Marys sitting at Jesus' feet each day in a set-aside time for the Bible and for prayer. But we can also be Marys on the go, seeking to have a settled heart rather than a boiling over one. A heart which is drawing near to Jesus in the very moment when the pressure is on. Rather than just ploughing on, in that very moment we can pray. Pray about everything, says Philippians. In that very moment we pray for the grace to be gentle and not to lash out at those around us. In that very moment we can pray for help under pressure. We can pray for a calm mind, for wisdom to rightly prioritise what we do right now. In that very moment, we can pray for the strength to do what he's calling us to do. In that very moment, we can thank Jesus that he is Lord. And this meeting, this family, this Sunday school lesson, this project, this whatever, isn't done in my strength. But in his, he's carrying the load. He's the one we need. The Lord is near. Remember, he's near in two ways. He is coming back soon and is near us right now. Right as you're rushing around the supermarket or getting tea ready or whatever, we can turn to him and he will help. Let's spend a moment to reflect, and as you do, I'll just read the passage from Luke again. As Jesus and his disciples were on their way, he came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered. You are worried and upset about many things, but few things are needed, or indeed only one. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. We're just going to have a couple of minutes, just on our own this time, just to reflect on that passage or perhaps one or two of the things that we've just been thinking about. What is it that you want to remember from this session? What is it you want to remember next time, you know, the peas are threatening to go over, the steam and the bubbles and everything? What will you remember? So yeah, just on our own, just for a couple of minutes. Shall we pray? We are so grateful that you are Lord and we are not. And yet so often we kind of think we are. Forgive us for all those times where we feel like we have to control everything and everyone and every situation. Forgive us and help us. Would we remember that Jesus is Lord? Thank you that he will keep the universe running even when we can't do it all. Help us to trust him. Lord, we pray in those very moments where we are just feeling so overwhelmed. Would you, by your grace, pull these things to mind? Would you help us in those moments, we pray. And Lord, we pray that you'd help us to get good patterns in life, that we would get sleep,
Thank you for the way you've designed our bodies. We pray that we would respect your design and help us. You know the pressures on each one of us. And so we look to you for your help and your strength. Amen. Final little book plug. I love this book. The cover is a little bit dated, but don't let that put you off. It's a really, really helpful book. It's The Busy Christian's Guide to Busyness by Tim Chester, who is really excellent. The first half of the book works through kind of just practical things for when we're feeling not just busy, but over busy. And then the second half of the book looks a little bit deeper at the issues in our hearts that are driving our over busyness. Highly recommended. So please do have a look. As we were saying at the beginning, if you've not got money with you, the Bank of Peg is in full operation today, so please don't worry about that. But yeah, do pick up any books that you'd like or hang around for a little bit after. And lastly, thank you so much for inviting me to come along today. I've really enjoyed just being around and meeting a few people. And I have really benefited, I think, from going over this again. So this material I have used before, but obviously I've had to go back to it because I can feel worried and weary and especially overwhelmed with the best of them. And so I need to keep telling myself these things as well. So it's been really helpful to be able to just think through these issues again. So thank you for having me and for being so lovely and welcoming.